On Tuesday, July 23rd at 10 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl remembers violinist and composer Billy Bang as we do what we can to keep this listener-supported experiment alive. That's Tuesday, July 23rd at 10 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. The number to call is 516-620-3602 to support the quality programs you've heard all day and this evening on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones, and we have some goals to set. I'm not certain what our drive goal is, but in the next 2 hours, we'd like to raise $850 with your assistance. $850 that would keep your favorite programs, hopefully this is one of them, on WBAI. Please give your generous support by calling 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And we will remember Billy Bang this evening with a special tribute that we recorded in 2011, not too long after April 11th, when Billy Bang transitioned with the assistance of poet Luis Reyes Rivera and trumpeter, composer, and musical director at Sister's Place, Ahmed Abdullah. I was able to put this special together for a pledge of $40. You can either call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or you can go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. And for your generous support of $40, we will thank you with Billy Bang 2-CD set. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl, starting now. And fooling, I want some sugar. My bow.
Billy Bang, born in 1947, was raised in Harlem and the South Bronx. When he was an infant, his mother moved to New York and his family settled in Harlem. As a young child in the 1950s, Bang heard music of the Puerto Rican and Afro-Cuban communities of Spanish Harlem and soon began playing percussion. In junior high school, he took up the violin and performed as part of the school band. He later attended Stockbridge, a prep school in Weston, Massachusetts, under full scholarship. There he met and began playing with fellow student folk singer Arlo Guthrie. While back home in the Bronx, a friend, Oscar Grant, nicknamed him Billy Bang, after a New York-based TV cartoon personality. Everyone had nicknames, Mousy, Popcorn, Peanut, etc. Despite his initial protest, the name stuck. Now it has been legally changed. After 2 years at Stockbridge, he returned to live in the Bronx and attended Evander Childs High School. After high school, Bang was drafted into the Army and sent to Vietnam, an experience that profoundly affected his life. Returning home and radicalized, Billy began active in an anti-war movement and by the late 1960s decided to pursue a career in music. He returned to the violin as his principal means of expression in the early 1970s. Having been impressed by the violin playing of Ornette Coleman and Leroy Jenkins and inspired by the liberating of the still strong free jazz movement. Attending Queens College in New York and studying privately with Jenkins, Bang became a key member of New York's dynamic loft jazz scene of the 1970s. In addition to performing his own group, the Survivor Ensemble, Bang also worked with many other musicians, including contemporaries like Frank Lowe, David Murray, and William Parker, as well as the legendary Sam Rivers, one of the central figures of the loft jazz movement. Bang began to reach an international audience in 1977 with the String Trio of New York, which he co-founded with the guitarist James Emery and bassist John Lindbergh. Remaining with the cooperative ensemble for 9 years, Bang's solo concert recording Distinction Without a Difference, Hat Hut, from 1979 was also important in gaining him both critical acclaim and a broader audience. During these same years, Bang continued to tour and record with his own groups as well as genre-busting ensembles like the Decoding Society and Bill Laswell's Material, alongside guitar giant Sonny Shamrock. Bang even briefly led his own funk-oriented band, Forbidden Planet. During the 1980s, Bang continued to work and collaborate with other leading improvisers, such as Don Cherry, Marilyn Crispell, David Murray, and James Blood Elmer, and in 1982 began a 10-year association with the incomparable Sun Ra, concluding in a 1992 quartet recording, a tribute to Stuff Smith, that was dedicated to the father of the jazz violin. In 1990, Bang became a member of trumpeter Ahmed Abdullah's Solomatic Quartet. More recently, Bang has also collaborated with Abdullah in various other projects, including the latest Ebonic Tones group from Tara's Song and Diaspora Ensemble. After relocating to Berlin, where he lived from 1996 until 2000, Bang crisscrossed the Atlantic frequently, performing all over Europe and doing 5 tours through the South and Midwest in the United States with percussionist Abby Rader, 3 of which featured Frank Lowe. Bang also became a regular working relationship with percussionist Khalid El-Zabar, performing with him both as a duo and sometimes as a trio with Malachi Favors Magatut on bass. He also performed with El-Zabar and Hamid Bluet as Trifactor. In the late 1990s, Bang began his cooperation with Canada's Just In Time Records, for which he recorded Bang On, in 1997 and The Big Bang Theory in 1999. His subsequent recordings entitled Vietnam, The Aftermath from 2001 and Vietnam Reflections from 2005 evoked and confronted the memories of his Vietnam experiences and also showcased his considerable compositional skills. Bang also issued a live recording featuring Frank Lowe, Above and Beyond, an evening in Grand Rapids in 2007. Having returned to New York in 2000, Bang has continued his busy schedule touring in Europe, the United States, and Japan with the likes of Bluet, Kahil Abzabar, David Murray, Sonic Phonics, his own Aftermath band, and the Fab Trio with Joe Fonda and Barry Atschu, and the late Frank Lowe, among many others. Billy Bang's hard-edged tone, soulful sense of traditional swing, and evocatively expressive style have also been featured on numerous albums by other top names in a variety of genres, from the blistering funk of Bootsy Collins, harmonic groove of Ronald Shannon Jackson's Dakota Society, to the intergalactic uproar of Sun Ra. With about 20 albums under his own leadership and many more by various cooperative endeavors, including 5 highly acclaimed albums with the String Trio of New York, Billy Bang is one of the undisputed leaders and also one of the more prolific members of his generation of progressive musicians focusing on improvised music. One of Billy's many accomplishments was the making of a documentary film entitled Billy Bang's Redemption Song, produced by Marcus Hansen. Billy Bang died on April 11, 2011. He is survived by his companion Maria Arias and his 4 children, Shania Chamberlain, Gazelle Walker, Hoshi Walker, and Jay Walker, as well as his granddaughter, Cartier Alonzo, a son-in-law, Tom Alonzo, his 2 beloved aunts, Naomi Spratley and Aunt Emma N. Oliver, 2 sisters, Gloria Hill and Vanessa Barnes, 3 brothers, Willie Fry, Dwight Butch Peoples, and Kenneth Gravely, numerous cousins and nieces and nephews. In addition to his blood family, Billy also had a large musical family that loves him and will ensure that his music lives on. He also embraced his numerous fans and followers as part of his beloved community. Billy Bang was diagnosed with lung cancer in June 2009. In spite of his diagnosis, he continued to work with Ahmed Abdullah's encouragement, performing at Sister's Place in April and December of 2010. He traveled to Japan in September of 2010, where he performed with Todd Nicholson and Shoji Hano. He brought his quartet to the Rubin Museum of Art in November of 2010, and his last performance was in February 2011 at the Jazz Festival in Helsinki, Finland. While in Finland, he recorded music for a new album. His spirit lives through his music and the many, many lives he has touched. My name is Shania Chamberlain, and I'm Billy Bang's daughter.
title of this poem is Diaspora, featuring Billy Bang and Craig Harris. That's the title. A dozen voices climbed upon the stage, set their stands and checked their mics. Vocals to the right, a poet on the left, between which sat a baritone and tenor, as drums aligned near one guitar with double bass and keyboards placed around the oval shape of center space granted to trombone trumpet with Billy and his violin. From Alabama to the Bronx he came, from a segregated South to a degrading North, from farmlands of vigilante lynchings to city blocks of bullets badged into the backs of black, brown, beige, up and rising violins attending schools that taught them not to love the act of learning how to read music sheets and poems too, then tricked them into getting drafted. The band up on that stage was set to hit as brass and horns pronounced the theme of breadth and width, of height and depth, of choice and range, directly from the book of sunrise songs, arranged and scored to celebrate both Duke and Nina, Fletcher and Makeba, a samba sounding from Brazil, a teardrop falling from Azania, landing near the spiraling spirits of Malcolm, Max, and Monk, Tubman, Truth, and Train, variations to the history and mystery of sound. Before Billy came to wed that violin, he bore a stint in Vietnam, where impending death was constant. Mortar shells dropping bombs, napalm sprayed with Agent Orange, rifle fire greeting blood, afraid to kill, afraid to die, ducking every shot that's heard, diving into mud entrenched, hiding near the trees below, bullets slicing leaves above, chopping bark from flesh and bones, like them heads rolling from machetes swung. The tunnels he had crawled through, the children and the women who had died, the wanton loss of frontline limbs, the pressure squeezed inside his head, blending with the songs inside, extending from that inner outer space with a Harlem light returning from a southeast hell. Back upon the groveling streets of city dawns, he took up dope and violin. Between each drink, between each gig, he studied hard and found a form to heal those scars that drown inside and nod away like nightmares wide awake. A tunnel rat crawling through a booby trap. Flashlights blinking like the sound of strings, plucked and dug near a minefield, hoping to survive. Even while a bright-lit smile adorned his eyes and stroked them strings like silk, even while the song he played had not grown past the memory of death and dread, still he lingered, like the band that introduced the melody, like Dee Dee's flagrant keys joining with a tenor's flare, a trumpet's blare, a bass pluck sound, a piano's round, a drumstick's flip, a tom-tom's trip, all of them together setting up a round of solos. Each one took one, laying out and setting up an interchange with horns and strings, a trombone slide, a bowstrings glide, with Billy in the center, as trombone Craig reached further in, and Billy played a blues so full of loving, and Craig responds from blue to swing as each one pushes on the other. They both squared off on time and riff as the rest laid back and listened. The room grew hot, all ears intense, front line dwindled to that trombone and a violin, from dirge and or freedom songs, from rag to bop or swing. They played that range, sliding into free jazz flown, as both explored a spirit's muse, the audience fully silent. Then Craig got hot at Billy's bounce and took his horn apart, the slide removed, the bell mouth too, every aspect broken down as Harris Craig, his mouthpiece blew, and bit by bit, the trombone's part, he brought them back together without a single note abandoned. Then Bang returned to pluck each string, taking up the ripping challenge Craig had dropped with bouncing stride. Now picked and plucked by Bang, tapping out on Maple's wood a score of bowless sounds that made his frame of wood and grain sound like he could echo drums. Then Harris put his trombone down, strode up to the nearest wall, and rapped a beat so pulsing clear it was singing back to Billy. The contra sounds of siblings spent from low to high, the pitches varied, but now the band could blend back in with the melody that had birthed it all.
Vibrations it takes to hit the crown chakra. It's in the scream of the string, the glissando it sings. How to make the bottom root and hold on. Climb up your spine, explode in your ears. Definition unreachable. Gotta be able to play in to understand where out is, so you can find the way home. More than knowing the fingering up on the downstroke to bring an eargasm, pluck harmonic double stops and chromatic overtones like chorus sounds. Multiplicity surrounds. Sweat till your dues are paid. Release your demons. No shortcuts to this song of evolution. There is no open door. Till your ears mature. It can take lifetimes until your sound is found, channeling ancestral visions at the crossroads.
516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. That is the number that you would need to call in order to support quality programming that you've heard on WBAI here in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. What you're listening to in the background is the title selection from Rainbow Gladiator from the Billy Bang Quintet, their 1981 Soul Note release. Billy Bang, violin. He's also the composer. Charles Tyler, alto saxophone, baritone saxophone. Wilbur Morris, bass. Dennis Charles, drums, and Michelle Rosewoman, piano. Before that, we heard from the Tamika Reed Quartet, her 2015 Thirsty Ear release, Billy Bang's Bounce. Tamika Reed is the composer. She's on cello. Jason Rupke on bass. Toma Fujiwara on drums. Mary Halverson on guitar. Before that, you heard Reconciliation 2 from Billy Bang Vietnam Reflections. Before that, we heard a contribution from Ngoma Hill. He had provided this for the special String, which was in dedication to Billy Bang. It was later included on his Poetry from a Smartphone release. And we have a goal to reach. With your help, we will make it. We've been tasked to raise $850 during the course of this program, and with your help, we can reach that goal. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You've been listening to excerpts from the special Billy Bang 2-CD set for a pledge of $40. Earlier, we heard from Luis Reyes Rivera sharing his account of an exchange that happened between Billy Bang and trombonist Craig Harris. And we will be hearing from Ahmed Abdullah, drummer Newman Taylor Baker, trumpeter Roy Campbell, poet Professor Yusef Kamunyika, poet and vocalist Monique Ngozi Nri, and her and Ahmed Abdullah's daughter Tara, along with family of Billy Bang, daughter Chanyez Chamberlain, who opened the program with Reflections, which was the obituary that was in the program for Billy Bang's service. The music bed was Reflections from Billy Bang's 2005 Just in Time release, Vietnam Reflections. Billy Bang's partner, Maria Arias, and also bassist William Parker is contributing during this special. Of course, we open our program with our theme from Nina Simone. I want a little sugar in my bowl from the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This was originally released in 1967. This is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. So we won't be able to hear everything that's included, but you could hear all of it for a pledge of $40 as you help keep this listener-supported experiment alive. But I just thought I'd provide chunks to give you the incentive to call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or you can go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org, that is give, the number 2, WBAI.org. We'll hear a little bit more from Billy Bang, 2-CD set, and then we'll go to our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. But before we get there, we need to help you help us provide continuous news and arts programming that you've grown accustomed to. You might not think about it, but you probably listen to this station for 10, 12, 14 hours every week, and that adds up to hundreds of hours during the course of the year. So we hope you'll agree that the time is worthy of your support. By supporting us, you can call 516-620-3602. You could really help us by becoming what is known as a WBAI buddy when you decide to be a sustaining member for a pledge of $10 or more a month to support the programs that you listen to. We need your contribution to pay for the programs that you count on hearing every day. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give the number 2, WBAI.org. That's give, the number 2, WBAI.org, for a pledge of $40. So whether you call or give online, it only takes 2 minutes to support your favorite programs on WBAI for a year. What else can you do in 2 minutes that will bring information and entertainment for the entire year? 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Or go to give the number 2 WBAI.org. That's give the number 2 WBAI.org. You can also text WBAI to 41444. So that's 3 opportunities where you can support your favorite listener-supported experiment here, WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. As a thank you for your support of $40, we could send you this Billy Bang 2-CD set. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Or go to give the number 2 WBAI.org. That's give the number 2 WBAI.org. Stay tuned for our On the Bandstand segment with associate producer Hank Williams and more right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for July 23rd, but don't go anywhere. Joyce Jones will be back in a few minutes for another hour of Sugar in My Bowl with our Fun Drive special on the late violinist Billy Bang. And this is normally the time when we go into the shows of the week, and we'll do that in a moment, but WBAI Radio's Summer Fun Drive is underway, and it needs your support to stay on the air and to keep this show on the air. There are 2 ways you can give. You can call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602 while we're on the air. Or you can pledge online at give2, that's the number 2, WBAI.org. You can pledge for the full Billy Bang special that you're hearing parts of now, or you can simply just make a one-time donation for as little as $5. We'd like you to consider becoming a sustaining member with a monthly pledge, though, which we call being a BAI buddy. And with that, you get full voting rights in station elections, and also a very handy members card that gets discounts around town at businesses that also support the station. It also helps WBAI by having a predictable source of income every month. I'll repeat all the info at the bottom of the segment after our music listings. And we start this week with bassist Reggie Workman, who's at Minton's in Harlem on July 25th. Bassist Mimi Jones is at Small's in an after-hours set on July 25th and August 1st. Vocalist Sharni Wade is at Harlem's Marcus Garvey Park for a free outdoor performance as part of the Jazzmobile series on the 26th. Drummer Andrew Surreal is at Holo in Queens on the 26th. Pianist Mark Carey's Harlem Session Series continues with late Saturday night sets at Smoke on the 27th and August 3rd. Bassist Charnette Moffett leads a trio at Jazz Forum Arts in Tarrytown, New York on the 28th. poet Sonia Sanchez is at Hearst Plaza for the annual La Casita Poetry event at the Lincoln Center Out of Doors Festival on the 27th, and they'll repeat that at the Pregones Theater in the South Bronx on the 28th. Looking a little further ahead, bassist William Parker has a residency at the Stone from the 30th through August 3rd. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at the Village Vanguard from the 30th through August 4th. Vocalists Amina Claudine Myers, Sharni Wade, Liz Wright, poet Sonia Sanchez, and drummer Terry Lynn Carrington are all at Lincoln Center's Damrosch Park for the Lincoln Center Out of Doors Festival on the 31st. Saxophonist TK Blue is at Grant's Tomb for a free outdoor performance, and that's part of the Jazzmobile series on the 31st. Percussionist Steve Kroon leads a Latin jazz sextet at Smoke on August 1st. Finally, drummer Bobby Sanabria and Ascension are at Worldwide Plaza, and that's at 50th Street and 8th Avenue, for a free lunchtime set on August 6th. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. And if you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. And if you really like what we do, please help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a BAI buddy with a monthly pledge at 516-620-3602 while we're on the air or online at give2wbai.org. And as a reminder, you can pledge for our Billy Bang special or simply just make a one-time pledge. The support WBAI link on our website has details, and as always, we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our new weekly schedule, we'll be back on air next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and have updated event listings online. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck, your public enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5, Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones, and I'm here with
William Parker.
William Parker is a composer, bassist. Anything I'm leaving out?
Improviser.
Okay. And you worked with Billy Bang?
Yes, I did.
How did you and Billy Bang meet?
I met Billy Bang in the Bronx around 1972-71, and that period, at a place that was run by Ben Caldwell, who was who still is a director and a poet and a writer. It was called the Third World Cultural Center. It was at 167th Street off of Park Avenue, and I was running a jam session there, and Billy came in, and he had a violin with him, and it was in a knapsack, so I could tell it was a violin. It was not a violin case. And in that period, I was very much interested in strings. You know, I played the bass, but I was always trying to find string players, and I had made unsuccessful attempts at Manhattan School of Music trying to find people. And Billy played that evening at the jam session, and we exchanged numbers, and then we got together. I was at that time living in the Bronx at the Claremont Projects, and so Billy would come up, and we'd rehearse in my house there.
Where was he? Was he in the Bronx too?
And I think at that time he was in the Lower East Side.
Okay.
And this one thing led to another. I eventually migrated downtown because we spent lots of time going down there playing, and we would play anywhere, everywhere we could. You know, we would, I remember, with Henry Warner and a drummer, Clemson Parker, just walking through the East Village, stopping in places and setting up to play, whether they wanted a band or not. And we played on 6th Street at the very first New Eurekan Poets Cafe, when it was on 6th Street between A and B.
When was that?
It was in the early 70s when it first opened. We did stuff with a group called the Juju Players. We did a play, something about the Noise Keepers, about animals and planes coming to Africa. We were doing that. A guy named Putney was directing that. And we worked with poets. We worked with Thea Martinez, the choreographer. And then we eventually started doing stuff out of a place, 97 St. Mark's Place, called Someplace Nice, run by a guy named John Dahl. And we worked with a group called the Music Ensemble, which was Daniel Carter and Dewey Johnson, Earl Freeman Jr., Roger Baird, and who else was in that group? A great trumpet player, late trumpet player by the name of Malik Baraka. And well, we were always just playing, and that was an improvising group, but Billy was writing music at the time. I was writing music, and so we would interject our written music in with the improvisations that we were doing with these bands. And eventually we played a week at Rashid Ali's place, Ali's Alley, on 77 Green Street.
When did you start to record together?
Our first recording was 1978 or 79, a record called New York Collage on Anima Records. And that was with Kawana Fuller percussion, Rashid Bakar drums, Bilal Abdul Rahman tenor saxophone, Henry Warner alto saxophone, and myself on bass. And that was recorded live up at radio station WKCR.
Oh.
And that actually features Billy's poetry, because at the time, you know, Billy had written a poetry book called Magic on the Lower East Side. And he was very much into literature, and we're into politics. We were, and I'm saying we because we were, you know, it was a bunch of us together, you know, staying up all night talking about music, talking about how to make the world better. And we were really just obsessed and into music 24/7.
Now, by the time you met Billy Bang, was he already experimenting with the violin in the way that he's been known to
play?
Well,
you know, what Billy Bang did with the violin is that he bypassed Europe and went right to, if you look at, think of the violin as a fiddle from Africa, or folk fiddle, he just bypassed the whole European tradition and went right to the African, Asian tradition of bending notes and playing in between notes. Because he had this sound, he had an affinity to Latin music, to Asian and African music, and also the blues. Mm-hmm. And that was into his sound. I mean, the way Billy developed his sound is I had a basement on 3rd Street called the basement. And Billy would play with drummers without an amplifier. Mm-hmm. So he had to really dig hard and get a different kind of bow technique to be heard, because there really weren't any amps then. So he developed this unique sound that came out. I remember him going over to the violin player Leroy Jenkins' house for lessons, and Leroy just sent him home. He says, I can't, Bang doesn't want to listen to me. He doesn't want to listen to me. He doesn't want to learn, you know. And but I told Leroy, I said, well, you know, he's just being himself. You know, you sometimes you can't improve upon what God made. And that's what Billy was doing. He was just developing a different, organic, homegrown concept of playing the violin.
So how often, I mean, I know you recorded a lot together. How many recordings do you think you've done?
Oh, I don't know, but we did many, 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 many recordings, many, many sessions, things that weren't recorded, things behind closed doors that no one will ever hear, that went up into the air, that were very brilliant. And then there are lots and lots of tapes. About 5 years ago, we did a duo tour of Poland, and we went to Scotland, and there's that material. There's some, we did a trio concert with the drummer who played with Ahmed Jamal, Frank Gant. We did down at the Cooler, we did a trio down there. And there's countless other sessions with other musicians. I mean, Billy played with a lot of people. You know, someone just asked the other day, oh, they didn't know that Billy had done that much with Sun Ra. Mm. But Billy was one of the few people who had carte blanche with Sun Ra. Sun Ra liked Billy because they were both from Alabama. And so Billy could come in and play whenever he wanted to with the orchestra. And even after Sonny passed, that invitation was extended by Marshall Allen. So Billy played with him. He played with David Murray. He played with Rashid Ali, Andrew Cyril. I mean, Billy, a lot of people touched on the magic of Bang. Yeah.
About the recording you did, Scrapbook. I think it was you, Billy Bang, and Hamid Drake on drum.
Yes. That was a concept to work without with Thirsty Ear Records, because I had done the clarinet trio and a saxophone trio, so this was the violin trio. And we actually recorded that record at the late Andre Stobert, the drummer, his studio out there. And if you look at the record, it's really very, see, with Billy, you don't really need a lot of written music. You just need sort of a springboard to jump off. And we had a very good rhythmic connection. And so rhythm is melody, rhythm is harmony, And rhythm is time, space, all these things are within rhythm. So if you have a good rhythm concept, which Billy had, you're automatically playing changes. You're automatically having space in the music. So you didn't really need much for things to jump off into another area of dimension of sound. And I wish we actually never did a gig with that group. We were always talking about it, but we never got a chance to really do it because Hamid lives in Chicago. But we were very tight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one of the last times I saw Billy Bang was at the Vision Festival in 2010.
10, yes.
Yeah,
he was
it was last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know he'd been to Vision Festivals before, but I think he was recuperating from surgery before that Vision Festival. I mean, well, how did he agree to be involved that year?
Well, you know, Billy, you know, as you know, he had lung cancer, and he had gone through, radiation and chemotherapy. But before that, Billy had a hip replacement. And Billy was always a focused person and a fighter. Maybe in February, when he had just finished his radiation treatment, he went to Finland, where he recorded his last record. So when the music called, Billy rose to the task, whatever it was, to play at the Vision Festival or to go to Finland or to go anywhere in the world to play music. I mean, he really, really loved music and loved to play music. I mean, that was his sweet spot in life because when you play music, there are no dark forces. There's only light. There's no pain. There are no tears. And if there are tears, they're tears of happiness. Mm-hmm. And so Billy knew when he played music, all the ghosts and goblins would go away, and the angels would surround him, and he liked that a lot. You know, that's why he'd be dancing up there on stage, and having a good time. You know, because he was in good company when he played music.
Well, thank you very much, William Parker, for joining this special broadcast. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners before you go?
Well, I just like to say that there's so much that you don't know about Billy. I mean, he was a great, great, great composer. I mean, he had a way of putting his music together where it would just jump off the page and sprout wings and fly and take a life of its own. And it was a process that I never knew how he did it. But he would just come up with things, and he would really, really, really put intense concentration on a project. You know, the last two projects he did about Vietnam and the prayer for peace. He was really, really, really devoted to music, and I mean, a lot of his tunes should really be jazz standards. You know, if anything like that could ever cross over to our world. Because there was always a groove there and great melodies and great feeling. But and nobody gets the recognition that they deserve. But again, you know, what a lot of musicians say and is that, you know, we're not really here so much to be recognized in this world, you know, and so we just do what we do. And whether we're recognized or not. I remember we had one concert someplace nice and two people showed up and we said, you know, it doesn't make any difference whether one person or two people show up. You know, we're going to play like there's no tomorrow because there is no tomorrow because tomorrow never comes.
Well, thank you very much, William Parker.
Thank you.
Inside this world. Inside a man's heart, the discovery of life, of that which is alive. Right now, I am very frail in front of death. The sense of time passing from childhood until now. There is wonder, how much can we do in a lifetime? The lake sits still, and ordinary flowers sit on the lake. Life is short, and there is no room for heroes. Those flowers are gentle and just wish to be. Every branch and every leaf and every flower is filled with wonder. Now who shall bring the shadows, and who shall greet the rainbow? The poet, the soldier, or the prophet? I believe and I feel and I hear the voice and there goes my life.
My name is Monique Ngozi Enri. I wrote this poem for Billy Bang on Friday, June 16th, 2006. It's entitled, To Compositions in the Key of Neil for Bang. There is a healing place, a blue light shimmering in the darkness, a diamond in the velvet of the night. Here, broken glass is mended, and tears form silver streams. There is a place, a healing place, of song and silence. Brushing you, brushing me, in the spirals that we make, across the hurtling water to land where one awaits, lay peaceful for a while, not always restful, knowing somehow that a sea breeze is always coming to take you into the eye of the storm. Pale blue high ceilings, Tabitha nights, the vision karmic dealings, drawings in the back, dances jiggling jerking to the hand of a master, Hamid, maker of all things, Coltrane-ish drummer, spilling the blood of wine in memoriam, this year, last year, here's to John and Hilton, Andre and Roland, Billy, to name only a bittersweet few. I had the opportunity to be at an interview that Billy did with Ahmed, and he talked about what the experience was like on stage and how important it was to go to all the places, to give all of yourself in your instrument, in your music, but then that the place that took you to, that when you came off the stage, you needed a period of reentry. That in some ways, the way that we played music and he played music, it took him to an entirely other space, an open space, a space in which he was open to all of the energies that took him through and into his music. And so that he likened the experience of coming off stage to the experience of returning from Vietnam and the need for a period of time to adjust to the regular, normal activities of life. So I always think of that when I think of Billy, because he always transported us into a different kind of space in terms of his energy.
Funeral, everyone I knew was there, and most of them were crying. Uncle Billy's daughter, Hoshi Walker, played Uncle Billy's instrument and his song. At the end, Ahmed Abdullah, my father, played Molder Man. There were four trumpets. They were Ahmed Abdullah, Ted Daniels, James Zoller, and Roy Campbell. The trombones were Dick Griffin and Craig Harris. The saxophones were Hammett Blewett and James Spalding. The tuba was Bob Stewart. There was a violinist who played with Billy in the summer band. He lost most of his bow hair. I think the bow needs to be rehaired. After that, we had to go to the burial. Auntie Maria got to keep a United States flag because Uncle Billy was a veteran. That part, even I was crying. Next, me, Mom, and Dad went to get lunch at a Mediterranean place. Then me and Mom left, and Mom went back at 5 o'clock to see the repast. My name is Tara Abdullah Marie. Billy Bang, he was really fun to be around, and he was always fun, even if he didn't feel good. He always said hi to me, and he was always like playing games with me. Like, I remember how whenever my dad played with him, he just like said, "Oh, did you see me playing the trumpet? I was real good." And he just made me laugh a lot. And well, while we were just talking, my aunt said she reminded me of on my birthday how, even though she reminded him, they didn't come over, but they went on the phone and Uncle Billy played Happy Birthday for me. And then, like, sometimes I do that to Uncle Billy because to show him my skills, because I know how to play the violin just like him.
Thank you.
This is Joyce Jones, and I'm here with...
Maria Arias.
You were partners.
Right, we were partners.
Well, thank you for joining Sugar in My Bowl. What was it about Billy Bang that you found interesting enough to spend time with him?
Okay, so I'll tell you the story of meeting and what was powerful about it. It was July the 4th of 2005, and I was coming back from a yoga retreat that I had been in. So, you know, I was in a space of having spent 4 days doing yoga. So I felt very much in a compassionate, open, very open to the music. I met him through Monique Ngozi Henry and Ahmed Abdullah because I knew them. Monique had been my friend for a very long time, and they were performing at the African Arts Festival that occurs around the 4th of July weekend in Brooklyn, right, in the park. And afterwards, so the first thing is, of course, the music. I met him formally that day, but I had heard his music at Sister's Place and at other venues. I had heard him play. So there was the connection of what this man was doing with this violin, which was incredible. And then after the performance, Monique, Ahmed, and Tara, they live right across the street from where the festival was. And so we went to their home, and Monique, Billy, and I were in the kitchen, and actually Billy was sharing about this project he had, which was that he was planning to go back to Vietnam, this time with his violin, not with a rifle, and, you know, and that he wanted to go back to Vietnam and connect with the Vietnamese people. He was talking about, you know, how the Vietnamese people had never done anything to him and how he wanted to go back to play music, to meet other musicians there, and just to go there as a kind of to make peace with the people of Vietnam. And he felt such regret about having been there and having hurt Vietnamese people, and that had been in his mind. And he really had never gone back to Vietnam since he had been there as a soldier. So he was talking about going back as a musician now and bringing the violin and doing that. So that was our meeting. From there, you know.
So did you go with him to Vietnam?
I didn't. He actually wanted me to go to Vietnam, and work-wise, and at the time he was going, it wound up not being possible for me to travel to Vietnam. But we talked quite a bit on the phone. It was a very, very intense experience to go to Vietnam. And there's a film that came out of that. It's called Billy Bang's Redemption Song. It hasn't been broadly released. There's basically two filmmakers from Paris, France, that helped to produce the film. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been shown, I know that some people saw it on PBS in Canada, and also there was a film festival in Waterville, Maine, where there is a group of Billy Bang fans. So he has quite a following of people there, and he goes and he plays. But they had the film, and they showed the film, and they invited Billy. I didn't get to go with him, but he went there, and he talked about the film. I think he may have played a little bit, too, but it was a film festival. So the film hasn't been broadly distributed yet, but I'm sure it's something that will happen in the near future.
Has there been communication with you with regard to its broadening?
The filmmakers, I think we have an edited version of it, and I think that they were wanting to maybe do some other things to the film. But, yeah, that's something that's one of the projects to follow up with to make sure that the film gets its proper distribution.
And perhaps it could be shown at the Vision Festival here, among other places.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your, okay, what was Life with Billy Bang like?
Challenging.
How so?
I mean, it's kind of, so it's a lot of different things. I mean, on one level, and you see this through the music, it's like a person trying to connect in the world in like a really different way. You know, I mean, he knows the rules, but he doesn't want to follow them, you know, because he has another expression, another perspective. He has something else he wants to give to the world. So that's like, you know, and he wants to do it in his way. So that's like a piece of it. Although I have to say, he would always say, well, you got to know, we used to talk a lot about improvisation, and he would say, you know, it's improvisation, but it's structure. You got to first know the rules so that you can know how to break it. And I have to say that I kind of love that. I mean, that's like really true. You learn what the rules are so that when you're breaking the rules, you're not just breaking the rules to break the rule. You're breaking the rules, but you're breaking the rule with a purpose, you know? You know, he had something he wanted to communicate, so that's a piece of it. I have to say the creative energy and the kind of conversations we had were, like, just amazing. Really just amazing, amazing exchanges. But with that also comes kind of the chaos of what it means to live like that, you know. So it's the yin and the yang of it, you know. So all of it was there. But I think, you know, we found that we both had like just a strong force that kept us together, you know, even through the challenges. And, you know, there were a lot of challenges. I don't, you know, I like to be real about things. So I'm not going to say that there weren't challenges. So, but, it was just really, really powerful. And, I guess the other part that I feel I was really privileged to see is the wounds that a person really suffers from having been through war. I mean, those were, and he had done a lot of work, you know, because I met him in 2005. He had already released the two Vietnam records that, you know, were meant a lot to him. And through these two records, he had really worked through a lot of the trauma from war. But if you hold a rifle and you've killed another person up front, if you've seen people who are your partners and your buddies and your brothers, really, in terms of who you are as a family, you know, a military family, but they're your family. You can't have that experience and not have it deeply affect you, you know, and it really, to regain your humanity after having done that is really difficult. And I think the music was his way. Thank you.
516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or you can go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, to show your support of this listener-supported experiment. WBAI has been around for a while, but it may be new to you, and you may not know that during the course of a year we interrupt our regular programming to come to you to ask that you support us in keeping the programming on the air. We cannot do this without you and your generous donations. And speaking of that, we've been sharing the Billy Bang 2-CD set with you for a pledge of $40. This is a compilation that we put together at WBAI with the assistance of poet Luis Reyes Rivera and trumpeter, composer, and musical director at Sista's Place, Ahmed Abdullah, to share with you this special Billy Bang 2-CD set. For your support of $40, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or you can go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org, that is give, the number 2, WBAI.org. Also, we send a monthly newsletter to listeners. From what I've noticed, it seems to be generated by our general manager, Berthold Reimers, and Andrea Katz, our coordinator. But most importantly, by your calling 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or going to give the number 2, WBAI.org. Give the number 2, WBAI.org. You can show your support and keep this programming on the air. It's Billy Bang 2-CD set for a pledge of $40. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Or go to give the number 2, WBAI.org. Give the number 2, WBAI.org. Or you can text WBAI to 41444. Text WBAI to 41444. I am talking over Yo Ho Chi Minh is in the house from the 2001 Just in Time release, Vietnam the Aftermath. Billy Bang, violin, compositions. Ted Daniel, trumpet on this selection. John Hicks, piano. Curtis Lundy, bass. Michael Carvin, drums. Before this, we heard part of what Maria Arias had to share. Before that, we heard Tara Abdullah Nri. And before that, we heard from Monique Ngozi Nri. And before that, we heard from William Parker. Stay tuned for more on Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Hi, this is Joyce Jones with Sugar in My Bowl, and I'm sitting with
Yusuf Kamunyaka.
Okay. Thank you for joining Sugar in My Bowl.
Thank you much.
Thank you for coming into WBAI.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about your relationship with Billy Bang.
Well, it was quite a brief relationship. However, I knew his work before I met him. I remember thinking that we would do a collaboration together called Nine Bridges Back. And that was for the Harlem stage. And I'd never met him before. So we met at the Bowery Poetry Club. And I was quite taken with him. I knew he was a Vietnam veteran, as I am, and automatically we connected.
How was it decided that you would do the event at Harlem Stage?
Well, I received, I think it was an email, or maybe it was a call from the director, and I said yes, because I knew the name Billy Bain. I knew his music. I respected his music, his sort of severe attack on the violin, and at the same time, a certain elevated lyrical quality and density. So I was taken with the idea.
I actually attended that event, and it was very moving in that just the combination of the participants had spent time in Vietnam.
Yes.
Was there a time when all the participants talked about their experience, or was it just...
There's a moment when we talked about the experience, but it was brief. We wanted, I think, the music and the words to do that without explication or any attempt to analyze before it happened.
Was it ever recorded?
I don't know if it was recorded. Perhaps it was recorded. I hope so.
Yeah. Was there a plan to do something else with Billy Bang? Or?
In my psyche, yes. I really wanted to have a more extended project. I thought about that a whole lot.
Did you talk to him about it?
I didn't talk to him. I just assumed that it would happen later on. I've moved from one thing to the next. And I also realized in talking with him, the fact that he was born in Mobile, Alabama, that I sort of heard an echo of the Great Migration, though the Great Migration had happened before. It was still an echo of that in everything that he did, I believe. I think often we can internalize the landscape if we're not even there, especially through communication of family, friends, acquaintances, and what have you.
What did that mean for you, recognizing that you heard this great migration?
Well, for me, I was born and raised in Louisiana, and I think that there's an element of that great migration, what I call an echo of the great migration in all the urban enclaves in the Northeast, in the West, in places like Chicago, for instance, south side of Chicago.
Did you eventually wind up doing work with Vietnam veterans?
I have worked with Vietnam veterans. Started off when I was at the University of Colorado. I was a counselor, and a few Vietnam veterans I worked there with. I also, for a time, taught at summer workshops at University of Massachusetts in Boston, the William Journey Center, director Kevin Bourne. And that was a moment of, I suppose, severe engagement with those voices.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to elaborate? Or?
Well, I started writing about Vietnam myself in the 80s. I very systematically skirted around that experience. I didn't really think it was subject matter for poetry. I was more or less thinking about surrealism and the Beat Movement, as well as the New York School. But I was living in New Orleans at the time, and I just found myself writing about Vietnam. For those other writers, I think it's a process of discovery.
Did you just specifically work with Billy Bang? Did you get to play with Billy Bang?
I didn't get to play with Billy Bang.
Okay.
Well, we talked about what we would do.
Oh.
Initially, we were going to... My idea was that I would recite poems and he would be playing.
Mm-hmm.
But once we talked about it, we realized that perhaps since he had approached this topic before, especially in the aftermath. He had his own structured presentation.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl's the name of this program, Billy Bang, 2-CD set, produced by me, Joyce Jones, for a pledge of $40. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. You have a few minutes left to pledge during this program, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. That's give, the number 2, WBAI.org. For a pledge of $40, your generous support, we will thank you by providing you with the complete Billy Bang 2-CD set. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. $40 goes a long way around here. I'm not quite sure where we are in our goal of $850, but if you've been calling, I know we're getting there. We only have a few minutes left. You can add your donation to other listeners and other people who have called who value the station as much as you do. Working together, we can double the strength of your gift and theirs, and make sure the station has the funding it takes to keep your favorite programs coming to you and other contributors, such as yourself. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give to WBAI.org, give to the number 2, WBAI.org, or you can text WBAI to 41444. You can text WBAI to 41444. And I'd like to thank all the people who have pledged their support throughout the drive and during the course of this program. We really do appreciate everything you've given. Stay tuned. Anne-Marie Hendrickson is scheduled next with Rat Mansion. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.